You're listening to Live Free, Think Free on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
Micah, I just wanted to give an update on one we did a couple of weeks ago. A previous article I wrote about this, this fluoride trial that was taking place in 2020 and then got delayed until just recently. I covered this back in January. Actually, I think if you go to this episode from January 5th that I called Blindly Trusting the Science Fails Again, that was in reference to this fluoride study that we covered then, which was saying that internal CDC emails show that the Assistant Secretary for Health, Rachel Levine, specifically intervened to stop the release of this fluoride monograph, this review of all the existing literature, which was supposed to be released in May 2022, we've learned and has not been released. We found out why. Well, there was intervention from the Assistant Secretary of Health, as well as the Office of the Director of the NIH, which is a gentleman that I'd never heard of before, Lawrence Trabuck, I think, and so that was kind of an explosive story. And I will say as well, Micah, side note, I've been cutting up these clips, and I'm going to cut a clip of this one, for example. And some people, I know that you guys might not have time or to consume the whole hour plus show we do. It seems like some of you enjoy the clips. So we're going to keep doing that for the individual stories when we can, when they're relevant and important and interesting to you guys, because so many of you seemed to be curious about this story. The video we did for this one last time, it got shared far and wide. So thank you guys for that. Well, here's the update on that. Before we had emails proving Assistant Secretary of Health Rachel Levine intervened in that. Well, we got more information. There was a hearing in January 12th, and so it's been a couple of weeks in the fluoride trial, and the judge basically ruled, the short version, the judge ruled, Edward Chen ruled to push the next hearing till April, so it got delayed a little bit further. But the government, the EPA, was trying to get the judge to delay it till the summer, maybe even till next year. They're just trying to push this off forever. And the attorneys for the plaintiffs for the Fluoride Action Network and other organizations who've been suing the EPA now for years, they were able to convince the judge, let's just give it a 3-month delay, come back. And at this point, the judge is going to decide whether or not he's going to release this report from the National Toxicology Program, which, again, has been kept from the public and was prevented from being released by officials within the CDC and the NIH. And I have a quote here from Jay Sanders, who's the Education and Outreach Director of the Fluoride Action Network. He told me as part of this article, the Fluoride Action Network is pleased that the court rejected the EPA's renewed request for a 6-month delay of the trial. The EPA's callousness towards the millions of U.S. children currently at risk of neurotoxic harm from fluoridation ought to concern every parent, grandparent, and future parent. So there wasn't a whole lot of new things that came out, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but there are a couple of important things that I do want to explain to those who've been following this saga, and especially about these emails that I've referenced here. Now, we got some new information where after those emails were released and presented to the court, presented to the judge, for one thing that was interesting, Micah, whenever, you know, you would expect that this was going to be like a big thing, that the judge was like, oh my God, these emails clearly show that these agencies are, you know, intervening to stop the release of this report. But the judge didn't really seem to kind of buy it. He wasn't necessarily buying the government's argument that we should delay this forever. He told them, in fact, he's like, optimistically, we might have a final report. And that's a big if within a year. So he's like, if I listen to you with the EPA, we might get a report in a year. It might never come based on this. But it was interesting that Michael Connett, the lawyer for the Fluoride Action Network, as he started to bring up, he reminded the judge of the unusual process that this NTP study has gone through. It's gone through more than 5 reviews with multiple experts, and it still hasn't been released. And when he started to talk about the emails, like, judge, in these emails, they show interference from the Assistant Health Secretary. Judge Chen interrupted, and he said, yeah, I know. I'm familiar with the briefs you submitted and the narrative you believe, but the NTP study is not finalized, even if you believe we have enough evidence. So it was kind of like, whoa, okay, he's not necessarily interested in hearing about quote-unquote conspiracies about why this study hasn't been released, even though that's what the emails show. And maybe that's not the job of a judge, I guess. Maybe that's the job of a journalist, but nonetheless, it was kind of interesting. But Connett, Michael Connett, the attorney for Fluoride Action Network, he brought it up again. And he said, quote, clearly we have seen that higher authorities within the Department of Health and Human Services have the ability to influence Dr. Wojciech's decision on this report. And so Dr. Wojcik, this is where it gets a little interesting. This is a man that was brought up. Dr. Wojcik is the director of the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, a director of the National Institutes of Health, and a director of the National Toxicology Program as of June 2020. And they're saying that he claimed responsibility for squashing this report. So after the emails were presented to the court and say, hey, look, we have somebody in these emails saying that it was Assistant Health Secretary Rachel Levine and this other guy, Office of Director, who intervened with this to stop the release of this. Well, then the EPA filed their own motion where they got a Dr. Wojcik to say, no, it was me. I'm the one who blocked this. And it was interesting that he's taking the responsibility, and he claimed that, well, he blocked the release of it, and then now he's saying we need more reviews of this already five times reviewed study, and it needs to get a recommendation from some bureaucracy, which we've never heard of. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, Micah. As far as I know, this is the first time it's ever been made public, called the Board of Scientific Counselors. And as the EPA, as the Fluoride Action Network's attorney, Michael Connett, wrote, he said, as EPA notes, Dr. Wojcik will make a final decision whether to publish the state of the science monograph after receiving the recommendation of this Board of Scientific Counselors. And he said that even that's overly optimistic because, quote, it assumes that Dr. Wojcik has the power to release a report that clashes with the Department of Health and Human Services policy interests. And so it also goes on. This is interesting. It says, while Dr. Wojcik claims responsibility for making the decision to quash the report in May, as opposed to the unenviable task of publicly blaming his superiors, contemporaneous emails show that the decision was made by his boss, Assistant Secretary of Health Rachel Levine. So that is kind of interesting. This guy, you could argue or theorize that he was told to take the fall, that, hey, you know, your boss is being implicated in these emails as having intervened. You got to take the fall. You got to step in and say, hey, no, that was me. That wasn't my boss. That was me. I'm the one who did that. It's like I said, this is not being reported pretty much anywhere outside of the little circle of independent media, myself and maybe a couple other people, of course, here on Live Free, Think Free. But just kind of more in that saga. Clearly, there's some intervention happening. This is a good question. Why would the Assistant Secretary of Health block this information? It's the biggest study review of all the fluoride literature that exists from studies in Spain and Canada and Mexico and elsewhere. And it's supposed to come out in May 2022, and it was not released for one reason or another. And in the next couple months, maybe by April, the judge may decide to release it to the public. But so far, it's still being blocked from release. The court has access to it, but they've redacted it, like I said last time. And so they won't let people even see what's in this report. We can assume, though, it's not in favor of fluoride being the best thing ever, because I would think the government would shout that from all the rooftops if they could.
I see a parallel to a comment earlier. They got to go through all these multiple tests and everything to change something here, right? But, you know, it seems whenever there's a drive to push something on us, they don't have to go through multiple tests and such. So it's kind of like that constitutional amendment thing, you know? Like, once something gets in, it's sure a lot to pull it out of there, you know? Like, no matter which way you cut it. And that seems to be the same thing here. Why would they, you know, block the information? I'm not, you know, I don't even want to really speculate. It just seems like if their real interest is health and human services, what the heck would they have to hide from the people ever? This is about health and human services. This ain't about spy satellites. This ain't about economic policy. You know, I'm serious here, but I think this is this, and people just accept this.
Yeah, I think unfortunately some people do accept it, but hopefully by shining a light on this, more people will think about it. Because again, if people don't even know that this, I would guess that the vast majority of the population, including those who pay attention to things like this, don't even know that this fluoride hearings are ongoing. It's not making any major news anywhere. It's been 3 years now since it first started, but we will continue to follow it. That's the latest update. We're in February now. We're in February now, and we're not going to hear anything till April. I just will end that little section by saying, if you don't know about fluoride and the dangers, specifically water fluoridation, I do encourage you to check out fluoridealert.org. That's the Fluoride Action Network, the people who are involved in this lawsuit. It's not just them. It's the Organic Consumers Association, Food and Water Watch, a bunch of different organizations coming together, class action lawsuit against it. A lawsuit against the EPA under the Toxic Substances Control Act. And I think it really has the potential to, it's already historic, just the things that have happened, the information has come out. But so far, it seems like little tidbits like this. Oh, did you realize that one time back in 2022, it was revealed through an email in this court case you never heard of that the government was blocking the release of the study that more than likely said some bad things about fluoride. Like, will that be anywhere in the history books, or is that just going to get lost to the pages of history and the whole fluoride experiment continues? My hope is that this does go in a positive direction and you could actually see the end of water fluoridation in the U.S. Of course, this would be, there'll be still years of litigation, even if the judge ruled like, hey, you know what? And in 6 months, let's say he rules in favor of Fluoride Action Network and says, you're right, fluoride is a toxin. We have all the evidence. It violates this EPA Act. Now it needs to be either totally regulated or banned altogether. That EPA is going to sue back. I mean, this is going to drag out for years, and it already has. So I'm slightly optimistic, but also very, very realistically pessimistic.
Since 2012, the Conscious Resistance Network has been an independent media organization focused on empowering individuals through education, philosophy, health, and community organizing. We work to create a world where corporate and state power do not rule over the lives of free human beings. Our motto is leading by example and helping others in their pursuit of freedom. Visit theconsciousresistance.com to find our articles, documentaries, interviews, podcasts, books, and more. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.